Okay, welcome everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries. We are in a series, The Blessing of the Lord. Today's message is on Abraham. It is April 29, 2022, and I'm Dr. Mary Craig. And let's open with prayer. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you, Lord, for the plan of salvation, Lord, that you have had from all eternity. And we thank you, Lord, as we go through the scriptures in this series, to come to understand the blessing of the Lord. When you bless, how you bless, those you bless, things like that. And so, God, we ask you today to honor your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask you to honor your word, and we ask you, Lord, that you would be honored and glorified in this message. And Lord, that is our desire and our hope today. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We ask that the Holy Spirit would open the eyes of our minds to comprehend and open the eyes of our hearts to receive what you have for us today. And we thank you, Lord. We ask that the Holy Spirit would come as a spirit of wisdom and revelation to reveal Jesus Christ to us, and Lord, to grant us wisdom, especially for the times in which we live. And Lord God, we give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in the first 11 chapters of Genesis, we find the world devolving into a pattern of sin, judgment, and God supplying deliverance or a token of grace. We spoke of the fall of humankind, and if we read on, we would see this pattern in the narratives of Cain and Abel, Noah and the flood, and the Tower of Babel. Genesis 12 begins the covenant of Abraham, which is a covenant of promise. God makes I will promises to Abram and blesses him. Abram, whose name God will change to Abraham, will be the instrument bringing blessings to all. Abram is blessed to be a blessing. The power of God will make it so. The Bible is a book of redemptive history of how God the Creator is also the Redeemer of those chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world to be redeemed by the coming Messiah, the Anointed One. It all began right after the fall in Genesis 3:15 with the first promise of this redemption. Genesis 3:15 says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. We thought about the blessing of God when he said to be fruitful and multiply. Now I want to move to Abraham and the covenant of promise. God chooses Abraham to be the vehicle through which blessing will come to the world. God doesn't suggest. God does not negotiate. Instead, God solemnly charged Abram, get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you, and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. Now, I was there in Haran in Turkey. It's a 5,000-year-old city, and it's the birthplace of three religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, and they all started with this mandate to Abram. Abram departed, Genesis 12, 4 says, as the Lord had spoken unto him. He was 75 years old when he left Haran. 75, now think of that, okay? He left to go into the land of Canaan. He passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, a 400-mile journey. And again the Lord appeared and said, unto your seed will I give this land. And there Abram built an altar unto the Lord. This refers to actual physical descendants. But when we look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul notes that the word seed is singular. So let's hear it. Galatians 3, 16 to 18. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Galatians 3, 16 to 18. So we're talking about a singular collective. What is the significance? By using the singular, God set all promises by our being in one seed, that is Christ. Christ to come in fulfillment in Christ. In Christ, all the promises are yes. And through Christ, we say our amen to God for his glory. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. And in Galatians 3, verse 29, and if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In Genesis 15, we find the formal inauguration of the Abrahamic covenant. And then in Genesis 17, verses 1 and 2, the Lord declares, without conversation, there's no negotiating going on here, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, or be holy. And I will establish my covenant between me and you. Genesis 17, 1 and 2. God made all these promises to Abram. How shall I know that I shall inherit the land you have promised? Abram believes, but he wants strong assurance. He is old and getting older, and he has no heir unless he adopts a son, quote unquote, to become legal heir. God says a son born of Abram's own loins will possess the promises. He says all this is in Genesis chapter 15. How? How's this going to happen? God gives assurance by a formal ratification of a covenant bond in blood. Abram is to present certain animals before God. He halves the animals, cuts them in half, and sets the pieces over against each other. He slays the birds, but doesn't divide them. Birds of prey come, but Abram frightens them away. He passes into a visionary state. He receives an overview of history and is encouraged to wait patiently. For 400 years, descendants will endure oppression in a strange land and then come out with great possessions. Finally, they will enter the land as promised. All that's from Genesis 15, and we're now through, we'll be going through verse 16. Why the delay? Here's the reason God gives. Because the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full. So that's all from Genesis chapter 15. And it goes on in Genesis 15. A smoking oven and a flaming torch pass between the pieces. God cut the covenant. God pledged himself to life and death in an action establishing an oath of self-malediction. So he's basically making a commitment that, you know, it's going to happen, or there's a malediction means like a word against. Diction, and the mal part is like malady, you know, like it's bad, sickness or something. So essentially, he would curse himself if it doesn't happen. If the commitment is broken, their own bodies were to be torn in pieces just as the animals had been divided ceremonially. God bound himself in a solemn blood oath to the fulfillment of the promises given Abram. The promises are sealed with this self-maledictory oath. This is the strong assurance given. What is the ultimate fate of the covenant breaker? His body would be slain and devoured by the wild birds of the heavens. You can, there's a lot of scripture on this that's in the written version of this message. But just here's some. Exodus chapter 24, Jeremiah chapter 34, Deuteronomy chapter 28, 1 Kings 14, 11, 1 Kings 16, verse 4, 1 Kings 21, verse 24, and Jeremiah 7, verse 33, Jeremiah 16, verse 4, Jeremiah 19, verse 7, and Psalm 79. Okay. So throughout Israel's history, we have this covenantal self-consciousness of the ultimate judgment of devastation. What happens at Sinai later on reflects the covenantal form employed by God as he bound himself to Abram. Thus, the ceremony of the Mosaic covenant to come will embody the substance of the commitment under Abram, although the form changes from passing between the pieces to the sprinkling of the nation with blood. Is there any relief from the curse? Well, our answer comes in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 15 to 20, and in the inauguration of the new covenant, Matthew 26, 28, and Luke 22, verse 20. There is a vital relationship between death and covenant in both the Abrahamic and Mosaic, that's the covenant with Moses, through Moses, covenants. We have the symbolic representation of the death of the covenant maker. It doesn't take much to discover the long history of God's terminal judgments on Israel in the light of his execution of the death curse on covenant breakers. We have first the death of the covenant maker at the time of the inauguration of the covenant. It is a pledge to death. Secondly, we have the death of the covenant violator or the covenant breaker. Once a transgression of the covenantal commitment occurs, death is inevitable. Death activates a testament, like a last will and testament. Death inaugurates and vindicates a covenant. It is Christ's death which removes transgressions committed under the first covenant. The death of Christ, the maker of the new covenant, provides redemption from the curses incurred due to the violation of the old covenant. This same death, his blood of the covenant, inaugurates a new covenant. Christ did not die in order to activate a will for Israel. He instituted a covenantal relationship. This is why we don't want to go back under the law. You don't go back. This is something new. All things are become new. This is very important. Now listen. In Hebrews 9, verse 15, Christ mediates the new covenant in order that those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. By the grace of God, Jesus Christ substituted himself in the place of covenant breakers. He died in their stead. He took on himself the curses of the covenant. There is no remission without the shedding of blood. To dishonor the blood of Christ, to deny it, to demean it, to be ashamed of it, is to dishonor and demean the new covenant in Christ's blood. The dual role of the blood of Christ echoes the dual role of God's words to Adam in Genesis 3:15. The pronouncement of blessings in the covenant of redemption followed on the heel of the infliction of the curses of the covenant of creation. Curse for sin, yes, but redemption comes through the promises of blessing in Christ. Abram did not pass between the divided pieces. Only God passed between the pieces. God assumed to himself the full responsibility for seeing that every promise of the covenant would be realized. Like it was made, it's going to happen. Abram is not without obligations and requirements. There were stipulations. He had to leave his father and land. He will have to circumcise all males as the seal of the covenant and the sign. He will have to obey. By the grace of God, he did obey. He believed God, and God counted it to him as righteousness. Genesis 15:6. Romans chapter 4 is very important. Galatians 3, verse 6, James 2, verse 23. The promise and commandment empower the faith and obedience. Okay, I'm going to say that again. The promise and commandment empower the faith and obedience. Again, to reinforce what we're talking about, in Genesis 17, the Lord declares, without conversation, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, or be holy, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. The H is the breath in there, Abraham, the presence of God. For I have made you a father of many nations. Now, you got to realize nothing had happened here at this point. I have, look at the tense. Your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I will give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. That's from Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 to 8. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant. See, there's no negotiating these covenants. They are unilateral, but we're to keep the covenant. Keep it. You shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. And that's Genesis 17, verses 9 to 11. It's important to stress that only God passed between the pieces in the making of this covenant, so I just said it again. God assumed to himself the full responsibility for seeing that every promise of the covenant would be realized. In Genesis 17, God establishes a sign of the Abrahamic covenant. It is to be circumcision. This seal carries forward to believers today with the covenant-sealing Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. So today, everyone who believes is sealed. The covenant is sealed by the Holy Spirit. So number one, in this act, the promise concerning the seed, the land, and the blessing are all sealed in a single sign. Number two, circumcision indicates the status of a man in relation to God and in relation to the covenant community of God. They were part of the community. Number three, it is an outward sign, but God is after the heart. Deuteronomy 10, verse 16, Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, Jeremiah 4, verse 4. To be uncircumcised is to be unclean, defiled, unworthy, and unholy. To fulfill all righteousness, Jesus underwent the prescribed rites, R-I-T-E-S, of cleansing, Matthew 3, verse 15. Jesus was submitted first to circumcision as an infant. Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the temple. Jesus was passive. He's just a baby. Later, Jesus submitted himself to the baptism of John, Luke 2:21. Jesus' cleansing is for the sake of the sinful people whom he is saving. He did it in the place of covenant violators, covenant breakers. He did it in their place and for their benefit. In the new covenant, Gentiles need not become Jews before becoming Christians. Both become new creatures through oneness with Christ by means of faith alone. See, everyone is sinners. All have sinned and come glory of the God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone. Everyone. Jesus is coming with a new covenant. But many people today want to cover all their bases and do both. And you come out. Read Galatians carefully and read Hebrews very carefully. Everything is better in the new covenant in Christ's blood, and the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come, a new covenant, just as God promised in the Old Testament that he would do a new thing, that he was going to make a new covenant, and that new covenant was inaugurated and instituted by Jesus Christ. As he died on the cross, he gave his life. There is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. It is the Holy Spirit who now purifies the believer. Acts 15, verses 8 and 9, Galatians 5, verse 2. The act is not done as a formal rite, R-I-T-E, yet Paul ordered the circumcision of Timothy in Acts 16, verse 3, to demonstrate freedom in Christ, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22. The rituals and formalities of the shadow must give way to the reality of the new covenant. And baptism, by the way, does not save the ritual itself. However, it is commanded, just, you know, so there. Anyway, but we're not talking about that. Just a little bit, maybe. In the new, cleansing from impurity and incorporation into covenant community continue as reality replaces this shadow. Romans chapter 4. Romans 4, read it carefully. Circumcision seals the reality of righteousness, a righteousness that comes by faith in Christ. in Romans 2:25-29, true circumcision of the heart by the Holy Spirit accomplishes the real cleansing necessary and sufficient to make one acceptable to God. In Philippians 3:3, the one who worships in the Spirit of God personifies the reality of circumcision's essence. In 2 Corinthians 1:22, God sealed us and gave us the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Baptism replaces circumcision, that is, one cleansing rite, R-I-T-E, replaces the other, Colossians 2:11-12, which says, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Colossians 2:11-12. The cutting off represents the violent removal of the inherently sinful nature of humanity. Baptism signifies the work of the Holy Spirit, not the person. It is grace. Descendants, land, I am your shield and reward. In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. In your seed all the nations will be blessed. The blessing of Abraham equals Jesus. Abraham to a clan, to a nation, to a split northern and southern kingdoms, to the downfall of each, to a Messiah, to the whole world. Galatians 3, to the promise of the Father. John 8:58. Jesus said to them, the Jews, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And Genesis 18:18, in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. That was God speaking to Abraham. May the grace and blessing of the covenant Lord be with you. Amen.